What is up? Welcome to After Hours Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Mark Savant. And today we are joined by the media maven herself, Christina Nicholson. So listen, this episode is really, really good. Christina just brings so much experience. She's an award-winning journalist. She's been featured in Forbes, Time, Yahoo, you name it. She's been there. And her area of expertise is on press releases, media engagement, and essentially how to get on TV. But you might be surprised with some of the information that Christina is giving us here, because it's not necessarily all about TV anymore. She's putting a lot of effort into podcasting, video production in-house, and I think you're going to really, really walk away from this episode with a lot of great tips. The reality is the game has changed, and Christina is going to give you top-level tips on how to build your personal brand, how to get featured in the news, how to get in front of more eyes. If that sounds interesting to you, then you're in the right place. Listen up, bust out your notepad. You're going to really enjoy today's episode. You can find out everything that Christina is doing at mediamavenandmore.com. Links below. Check that out. I also want to encourage you, head over to Mark Savant Media on YouTube. I've done hundreds of interviews with people, and for this year, 2021, YouTube is going to be one of my primary targets. I'm going to spend a lot of time there just sharing all the greatest tips, tools, and tactics for side hustlers. So head over to Mark Savant Media on YouTube, link below. All right, cool. We've gotten that all out of the way. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of how you can really grow your business in 2021. Let's talk about branding, PR. I've said enough. Let's get into this episode with Christina. Let's go. Christina Nicholson, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. You've done some amazing things. And before we get into the nuts and bolts of how we can actually get on the news and get featured, I kind of want to go back to your beginnings with entrepreneurship, because this, we're speaking all the side hustles out there. We want to take our side hustle full time. So talk to me about that. How did you move from corporate media into your own personal company?
Yeah, well, I side hustled for a long time. So my background is in TV. I was a reporter and anchor for about 10 years. My last station was the NBC station in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale market. And when you work in an industry like TV news, it's very competitive. There are a lot of strict rules. Like, I couldn't even wear my hair in a ponytail unless I was standing in a hurricane. Like, lots of limitations. So you're not exactly allowed to have a side hustle, but people do it. I mean, we all know the benefits of it, or else we wouldn't be listening to your show right now, Mark. So I did need a flexible schedule. I got a job at a PR agency, and I worked there for 6 months before leaving to go full-time with my side hustle. So I would say that I side hustled probably 8 months before leaving. And when I say I side hustled, what I mean is when I went to work at that PR agency, I was a publicist. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't only help those clients at the agency, but I was promoting myself as an expert in my industry on LinkedIn. I would look for people hiring publicists on Upwork. And these are usually super small businesses who don't have a budget to hire an agency. And because I was just starting out, I was willing to take whatever job that I could get. So I would, just to give you an idea, the industry average, it's probably higher now. I did this, I looked this up a year or two ago, for a PR agency is $6,000 a month. I was doing the work of an agency for people for $1,500 a month because I wanted to make my own schedule. I wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to build my side hustle so I could leave my full-time job. So I worked like crazy for 8 months. I worked before work on the side hustle. During work, I worked on the full-time job. And then after work, I worked on the side hustle. And then on the weekends, I worked on the side hustle. Luckily, coming from TV news where I'm faced with like quick deadlines, I learned to work quickly and efficiently. I'm very mindful of how I spend my time. So it was more a work smarter than work harder type of thing, building the side hustle. And I actually, when it came to me going full time with my side hustle, I didn't actually make the decision to leave because I was making enough money. My big mouth just kind of got me in trouble, and I kind of lost it on my boss because he wasn't a good boss. So I eventually found myself out of a job, and then I was forced to take the side hustle full time.
Well, and I think that the important part of this is you already had the infrastructure in place. So now that you lost your primary job, okay, now I can go all in. I've already got the infrastructure. I've got some clout. I have some references, maybe some word of mouth, some testimonials. And that's one of the reasons I think that side hustling is so important right now, because the industry is changing so quickly. Like I was talking to David Meltzer a few minutes ago. If you're in the hospitality industry, you're in trouble. I hope you have a backup plan. So really important to start putting that in place now. So in the other thing I think is smart that you've done, Christine, and forgive me if I'm wrong, is you were actually working and building a side hustle based on your previous experience, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, media is all I know. It's all I've ever done. I went to school for journalism. I've always been a TV reporter and anchor. And the reason I got into PR after news is because I was pitched all day, every day by so many publicists and PR agencies. And it was just like very clear. They never worked in the news. Like they didn't know what we did all day, every day. And it was very clear in their media pitches. So then that's why I got into PR. So I don't do things traditionally. Like we don't write press releases for people. That's very 1990. We look at PR through the lens of the media as people who are active on social media. You know, we're big on practicing what we preach. So I just said, hey, listen, what I do for myself, we will do for you. Like what I did in news, we'll show you the other side of that. So I think it's important that people don't look at, like, don't reinvent the wheel. Don't make it harder than it needs to be. What do you do right now in corporate America? What is your experience? How can you do that on your own? And then as you get going, you know, you will turn it full time. You will grow a team if that's what you want to do. I think too many people are focused on like going from zero to 100 really fast, that they skip steps or they don't build a solid foundation, or they're doing it with a lot of stress. Their income is inconsistent. And really they just, they're skipping steps because we live in this culture in the United States where it's just like all about making a whole bunch of money. Yeah. When if you're just more strategic and you do things step by step and you do them strategically and with the right guidance and the right people around you, you will be more successful over time. You just have to have patience. And I was very impatient through the process of working full time with the side hustle. I wanted to like hurry up and make money. And I think it held me back for like 2 years. And then when I like slowed down to do the right things, then things started taking off for me.
Yeah, I think chasing money can be a problem, because then you start chasing. It's like a dog at the dog park. You just keep chasing the next bone, where if you could really focus in on the best bone for you, you can really dig in. And so I want to talk a little bit about this, because you hit on something I think is very, very important, is that, you know, a lot of the things that these PR firms and media companies were doing over the past 20 years, it's just not working anymore. Yeah. Right. So working with someone like Christina Nicholson over at Media Maven and more.com is a good way to figure out what's going on. So I want to kind of dive into this a little bit. I want to dig into some actionable tips here. I want to be on TV, right? That's mm-hmm. like everyone's goal. They want to be on TV. They want to be featured. They want to reach more people. So what's step one of actually executing on being on TV? What's the first thing that we should do?
I think the first thing, it depends on what you want to be on TV for. Yeah. Do you have a product? Do you have a service? But all roads lead back to you. Building a personal brand is big. It didn't used to be, but it is now, especially when we talk about podcasting. I love podcasts. I have my own at Become a Media Maven, and I started it after seeing the positive effects of being a guest on podcasts. I would be a guest on a podcast and people would email me. They would want to work with me. That's because they got to know, like, and trust me. And when people get to know, like, and trust you, they want to purchase your service. They want to purchase your product. And people need expert opinions, whether it's on TV, on your local morning newscast, whether it's on national TV, a guest on a podcast, a quote in a magazine or a newspaper. People need your expertise. So I think the first thing you have to do is look at your social media, look at your website. What are you posting? Are you posting things that set you up as an expert in your industry? If you're not, then start doing that. Yes, you can mix in some personal stuff. Like the day we're recording this, it's my son's first birthday. I shared a picture of him. It's his first birthday. But I also share, I work from home. My son does some work for me, you know, or not for me, he's one, but does some work with me. You know, when I do some TV hosting stuff, we do some family stuff with it too. So he's at work with me. I think it's okay to share a little bit of that personal stuff on your social media, but you should also be talking about what you do, what your expertise is, not only to get referrals, but if I'm going to pitch you to the media and they're going to say, okay, who's Mark? Let me check out Mark. Let me Google him. Let me look at his Twitter, because they all do that. And they see stuff that doesn't make any sense because of what you just emailed them. They're like, oh, well, he says he's an expert in this, but he's tweeting about this. There's going to be a disconnect.
Right. So it's kind of like building your resume so that when you get in front of the right person, you're standing out for the right reasons. I mean, it sounds obvious, but like if you're going on Twitter and you're just posting a bunch of political stuff, if you get someone that leans on the other side, you're probably going to lose there, you know?
So not even leans on the other side. Just the fact that like you're sending a pitch because you want coverage in one area and then you're all over social media talking about this. It doesn't make sense. I once had a client. He is no longer a client. He wanted to build his personal brand in a big way. And I would look at his Twitter and he never tweeted about what he did professionally. He only tweeted about sports. And then he tweeted about the media and how bad the media is. And it's all lies. And I'm like, no media outlet is going to cover you when you're literally tweeting this about the media. For those of you who can't see me, I'm using air quotes because I hate the media. But it's just like you have to be building your personal brand because you have to give the media, I say the media, you know what I mean? You have to give people a reason to want to give you coverage. And you having a strong personal brand is going to help with that. And then secondly, if I can give you like one more tip.
Please.
Stop promoting yourself. Like it is not local TV, a podcasters, a website. It's nobody's job to give you a free commercial. You are there to help them do their job. If they're doing a story on XYZ, how can you contribute to XYZ? They're not inviting you on to promote your book so you can get somebody to hire you, so you can get somebody to buy your new product. They're bringing you on to help tell a story that they are going to tell with or without you. So just help them do their job. This is where a lot of people fall flat. They want to make it all about them, their service, their product. What are they covering and how can you help? Well, that's where you need to focus.
They're going to want to put you on if you're providing value to them and their viewers, right? So you have to find a way to provide that value. So how can we actually do that? I mean, let's just take the example of, I don't know, let's say you're selling widgets on your website, right? How can you actually provide that value to, like, how can you develop the right story so that the right person says, okay, this makes sense to me?
That's a great question. First of all, look at your audience. Like if you are doing something that's super tech like that, there's no reason for you to be on local news, on local TV. Like that audience is not your audience. So I would focus on tech podcasts. I would focus on those tech websites and online outlets or those trade magazines. And you have to give them something newsworthy. And when it comes to something newsworthy, look at two things. One, what are people already talking about? And two, why is this important right now? Why should I do this story right now? So, you know, a year ago, it might not have been common for chiropractors to be in the news a lot. But if we talk about people working from home on Zoom all day, kids in virtual school. Right now, I'm sitting on the floor in my closet to talk to you. Obviously, that opens the doors for a chiropractor to come in and talk about how to keep your back healthy if you're working from home. 5 exercises your kids could do at home if they're in virtual school. If you need to make an office at home during the coronavirus, here are some things to keep in mind. So those are examples of now topics. People are already talking about this stuff now, and you are just making yourself relevant and helping them do their job. So look at the calendar. What's happening now? Look at the news. What's happening now? And how can you insert your expertise, your product, or your service in a helpful and non-promotional way? Because the promotion comes by default. People will get to know, like, and trust you. The promotion comes by default. You don't need to promote anything. Just by default, it will happen. And when you try too hard, it's a turnoff and people aren't going to convert, or you're not even going to get the media hit at all.
So let's say you're in a media office, right? And you receive an email, because I'm assuming that's probably the best way to reach out to someone.
Yes.
What is something that would help me to stand out in front of you when you receive that email? You're like, I'm going to click this. Okay, I'm going to reply. What are some things that we can do to make sure that we stand out?
That's a good question, because there are thousands of emails received in newsrooms every day. I got them every day. There's so many mistakes too. You have to have a subject line that matters to me. If you spell my name wrong, or if it's like something I don't even cover or I'm not interested in, I won't even open it. If it says press release, I will not open it. Mm. You just have to have something that grabs my attention in the subject line right away. And then if I open it and I see it's long, I'm not going to read it. Like, I don't have time for that. I don't think any of us in any industry with any job have time for that. So you got to keep it short and sweet. I mean, I've gotten clients in USA Today, Washington Post, The Today Show, Forbes, with emails that are five sentences long as pitches. Like, you don't need to tell them your whole life story. So keep it short, sweet, and to the point. And something else, a little tip that takes an extra minute, God forbid anybody spend an extra minute on their strategy, but if you connect with me on LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter and you tell me you just sent me an email, I'm probably going to look for it. And I'm probably going to pay a little bit extra attention to it. I recently got Amy Porterfield on CNN, and I pitched a person that I knew there. And even though I knew her, I knew she also got thousands of emails a day. So then I also sent her a tweet to tell her, hey, I just emailed you. Mm. And she ended up being on like a couple of days later. So sending that short, sweet email with a catchy subject line and connecting with them on social media to let them know and kind of build that relationship so they already know, like, and trust you on social, and then you're coming into their inbox, it will make you stand out a little bit more, because we're more likely to pay attention to a social media notification than we are another email in our inbox, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's actually really, really great advice. Just as from a personal anecdote, if you would, sometimes I'll reach out to someone on, let's say, Instagram, and they have 500,000 followers on Instagram. Mm. The chances of them actually opening that, unlikely. They're probably not going to see your DM, but you might be able to find them. Maybe they do a YouTube live stream, right? I'll give you a perfect example. Evan Carmichael, over 3 million followers on YouTube. He just started a new YouTube channel that is brand new. It's got like 1,000 followers, and he does a live stream a few times a week. I'm able to get direct access to him by finding him somewhere where there's not as much competition, mm-hmm. right? Because in a world where everyone's on Twitter, Instagram, email, they're all over the place, you can find where they're somewhat open and say, hey, I just sent you an email, check it out. Great, great tip here from Christina Nicholson from MediaMavenAndMore.com. Go check her out. Hey, Mark here. Sorry to interrupt your regularly scheduled program. Christina is giving us all the goods. I hope you're learning something. Make sure that you smash subscribe right now. Take a screenshot and tag me on social media. I'd love to hear what you're enjoying about this episode. Subscribe today. Thank you so much. All right, let's get back into the episode, because there is a lot more to cover. Let's go. So you also hit on something else here, Christina, that I want to kind of dive into: podcasting. You just launched podcastclout.com. Why is it so attractive and important for us to get onto podcast? Why is that important?
Yeah. So Podcast Clout, basically, it was created by a publicist for other publicists. There are thought leaders who use it as well, because you act like your own publicist as a thought leader if you don't have an agency. And I was on podcasts for years before I started my own. And when I was on podcasts, I saw a quicker ROI. Like, people automatically just wanted to work with me because they didn't only hear the things that I was talking about, but they also got to know me through my voice, my inflection, my style. So it's just a different listener as well. People who listen to podcasts actually take the time to pick up their phone and scroll through the app, click on it, and listen. It's very different from having the TV on in the background. It's very different from just scrolling on social. They are listening with intent. They're more likely to invest in themselves, whether that be personally or professionally. So after I personally saw business growth and revenue by being a guest on podcasts, I was like, okay, we got to do this for our clients. We got to get more clients on podcasts. But there's over 1 million podcasts out there. About half of them are inactive, meaning somebody started it and then they stopped it. So it was impossible to find. So what Podcast Cloud is, it basically just automates all of that research. We only put the top few hundred podcasts in each category in Podcast Cloud. So instead of a million podcasts, there's 20,000. It's the top 250 in each category in Apple Podcasts. And you can search by category, you can search by keyword, and you build your podcast pitch list. You get all of the information you need to pitch to be a guest. It really is just a time saver. There are databases and software like this that exist for people in public relations, but they only focus on traditional media. It's magazines, right, newspapers, TV. And the people that are behind these outlets, they're business people and they're tech people. They're not PR people. So that's why I created it. It's something that I use for myself and then my team uses. And then it's like, well, let's just share it with everybody else now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense. That's one of the reasons why I'm so big into video podcasting now, is because you can get a lot more attention from people, because it just blows my mind some of the places that people are spending their ad budget. It just doesn't make any sense. I'll give you a perfect example. There's a television channel that has a lot of kids movies on it, right? So I'll let my kids watch it. But then in the middle, they'll have this like ad for this like rated R, like pretty intense movie. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is my 3-year-old. It's not your target demographic. What the heck are you doing? It's almost offensive to me, because now I can't even let my kid watch, because I don't know what they're going to show. It's so silly. Okay, cool. So let's dive a little bit more into podcastclout.com. Okay. So I've realized as a business owner, podcasts are a great way for me to discuss the value and what I do in my business, right? How can I actually get onto that right podcast? I want your opinion, because quite frankly, I get pitched all the time. Yep. I'd love to show you my email inbox and my DM. I get pitched all the time. How can I, as a business owner, stand out, get onto someone's podcast?
Yeah. So there's a few different things to do. I mean, a lot of the traditional media rules that I talk about apply. Podcasts are a little different, because instead of you jumping on something that's happening right now, it's more your expertise and why it's relevant around now, because podcasts aren't immediate. You know, like I would go into work and it would be like, here's your story. It's going live at 6 o'clock tonight. You can record a podcast and not hear it go live for 3 months. So it has to be relevant around now. Your expertise has to be super specific. I mean, you like, there's a lot of people that talk about PR, but there's not a lot of people that talk about PR from a perspective of being a reporter and an anchor. There's a lot of people that talk about podcasting, but there's not a lot of people who talk about podcasting from somebody who created podcast software because they saw the result. I mean, you know what I mean? You have to be super specific, especially when you're looking at getting on those podcasts in the business categories like marketing or entrepreneurship. Like, there's a million entrepreneurs out there. Why should we talk to you? Right. What differentiator do you have to offer? And can you give something strategic to the audience? Can you tell them exactly what to do and how to do it? Some people, like, they want to hold back and sell you their stuff later. You need to give it all out. Like, you need to give it all away, or else people aren't going to trust you. They're not going to get to know you. So there's that. We talked a little bit about, you know, pitching. I also, I actually share the exact pitch that I sent to Pat Flynn like 4 years ago to get on his podcast. You can see it at podcastclout.com/Pat. And I shared the exact pitch. It was actually a video pitch, because I heard him, this is another tip, like, actually know these people you're pitching. I heard him on a podcast say he gets 400 emails a day, but nobody makes him a video. So I was like, all right, Pat, I'll make you a video. So I made him a video pitch. It was like 2 minutes long. And then I sent it. And then I didn't hear back. And I looked on YouTube and it showed me I only had one view, and that was like myself. And so I sent a follow-up, which is also included in that link I shared. I sent a follow-up, and then based on the follow-up, I got booked, and then I go through the whole process of what happened after. So pitch the people the way they want to be pitched. I have an online form on my website. When people use the online form, they stand out just because they actually went to my website and looked around. When people send me an email, I'm like, well, why did they fill out the online form? Are they not looking around on my website? And say something like, don't copy and paste. Oh, I loved episode 100 where it was titled this and you talked to so-and-so. Like, I know you're copying and pasting stuff and you didn't really listen. So like, say something like, hey, I know you live in Coral Springs. I used to live there. Like something that's not like so obviously copied and pasted.
Right.
Social media, build the connection, talk to those people. You'll stand out in the inbox. And then it also helps to have other podcast interviews under your belt, you know? So if you've been on other podcasts, share that in the pitch. And I think one of the biggest ones, and so many people don't do this, and I don't understand why, it drives me crazy. If you are a guest on a podcast, you need to share it with your audience. I, after every podcast I record with a guest on my show, I send the guest a link to the episode and I say, here are some images, here are video, please share on social. 9 out of 10 times, nobody shares it.
Right.
Every single podcast I'm a guest on, I share it on social. I try to tag the host so he sees I'm sharing it. I put it on my website. And I once had somebody pitch to be a guest on my podcast. And she said, I think on my form, I ask you, are you going to share this? And she said, no. And I'm like, so wait a minute. You want me to spend 30 minutes talking to you so everybody can get to know you and what you do, but you're not willing to even share that? First of all, that's just bad PR. If you're anywhere, you should share it. That's one. And two, I honestly think it's just common courtesy. And I think if when you pitch to be a guest on a podcast, you need to tell them you will share it with your email list, with your friends on social media, whatever it is, whatever you're going to do, tell them you're going to share it because that's what they want to see and it sets you apart. And you should just do it anyway because it's actually really good PR for you.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of the common theme, I think. If you want to be featured on a podcast, on a news channel, you need to consider how can I give as much value as possible to the person I'm talking to and to their audience? Because I can't tell you how this happens all the time. Someone will DM me on Instagram. Hey, Mark, love your podcast. I would love to be on there because this. But they don't follow me. They've never engaged with anything that I've done. They haven't left any review on my podcast. Like, stand out. You know, if you want to be on my show and you think you can provide value, the least you could do is follow me on Instagram. Like there's not that much to it. For sure. Share the heck out of it, because that's the other thing that will happen. If you want to stand out, if I go to your Instagram profile, or your LinkedIn profile, and I see that, okay, you've actually been sharing the interviews. You've been actually putting these people on your website, way more likely that you're going to show up. That's cool. I kind of expanded on your point there, Christina, but I can tell you personally, I love that. And you're probably very glad that I'm having you on the show because you're going to share it. You said
yes, exactly. Exactly. Like it's not rocket science. Again, it's just like following that person on social media. It's something that takes an extra few minutes.
Right.
And for that reason, people don't do it. I think so many people are just lazy. Like I talked about earlier, going from side hustle to full time, people just want to go from like 0 to 100 in no time. They don't take a few minutes to do little things that make a big difference.
It reminds me of that classic Aesop fable where the tortoise and the hare, you know?
Yes. Haven't
we learned anything? Guys.
No, girls, we still haven't. You know why? Because we get targeted by liars with their Facebook ads saying, I just earned $100,000 on my first business launch. But then it's like, they forget to tell you that they spent $99,000 to get the $100,000. Like they leave that part out. That's why people see that everywhere. And they're like, oh, I want to do that. I can do that. And you're not seeing the full story.
No, absolutely not. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But I can tell you from personal experience and based on the professional experience of Christina here that getting on these shows, getting on these networks is really going to help you expand and build know, like, and trust. Of course, you can learn way more at MediaMavenAndMore.com or get onto her podcastclout.com to get shown on the right podcast to the right people. Because like she said, millions and millions of podcasts, find the right one. Okay, cool. Christina, before I let you go, we got to get into the rapid fire. So buckle up, get ready, strap in, lock and load. Ready?
Okay, this is exciting.
It is. It's exciting. It's
nerve-wracking. I'm a little nervous. Okay.
A lot of personal information incoming, but let's start with something a little more generic. What is a must-have business item that costs less than $50?
Oh, less than $50. Probably a good business book. Yeah, I would say a good business book, less than $50. That's a tough one.
What's the best business book you've read recently? Oh, God,
you're going to make me pick one. I read like a book a week.
That's amazing.
I like Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. I like Profit First. I like The 12-Week Year. There's three. You asked for one and I gave you three.
Good. Hey, we'll take it. Mm-hmm. More is better than less. If you had 10 seconds with yourself 10 years ago, what would you say to Christina?
Invest in yourself. I spent the first 2 years of my business soaking up all the free stuff I could on the internet, which is great. But at some point you need somebody who knows better and does better to specifically work with you. These are my specific goals. This is where I want to go specifically. I was afraid to spend money because I wasn't making money, but I wasn't making money because I wasn't spending it, you know? So I would have said, you know, people spend tens of thousands of dollars on college and they get nowhere. Right. You can spend a few thousand on your business.
Right. Right. I could not agree more. People take hundreds of thousands of dollars in college loans and
they spend their whole life paying it back for a terrible job. Like spend a few thousand bucks for your business.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's almost comical when you hear it, but it's so true. It's so true. And I think probably because online courses and mentorship can get a bad stigma because you can get burned.
Because anybody can put anything out there and that's how it is. Yeah. But do your homework. I mean, even with college, like I remember, I'm going off your rapid fire. I'm sorry, Mark. I remember there's a very popular, expensive private college near us in Boca Raton. And I was like, oh, I could be an adjunct professor. I could teach broadcast journalism. And they were like, do you have a master's in it? I'm like, no, I don't have a master's, but I worked as a broadcast journalist for 10 years. And they're like, oh, you can't teach unless you have a master's. And I'm like, well, who's teaching it now? And they're like, somebody with a master's. She's never actually worked in the industry, but she's got a master's. And I'm like, hold up. You have people paying $40,000 a year to learn broadcast journalism from somebody who has never even worked as a broadcast journalist. After that, I was like, higher education, you are a joke. I've lost all hope.
It's unbelievable. Like the amount you learn by actually living and breathing it is so, I took years and years of Spanish in elementary and high school.
Uh-huh.
I learned like a couple words, 6 months in a restaurant and I would go to Mexico. I'm telling you.
That's amazing. I love that. That's true though. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, you got to live it. You got to live it. I could go off on a huge tangent. Not going to.
Ruined your rapid fire. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's okay. A couple more questions here. If you had one business task that you could do for the day, you wake up, you only do one task. What are you going to do?
Create content. Take pretty pictures and pretty videos.
Love it. If you only have one social media app on your phone, what app would you have?
They all serve so many different functions. Instagram, because it's more fun.
Okay. And a final question here. If you had a billboard message that could reach millions and millions of people out there, what would you put on your billboard, Christina?
It would probably have a bad word, so that wouldn't be allowed. probably, I think right now, be nice. I think a lot of people need to be nice right now. But like in general, my mantra is like just you do you. Like just do, like stop worrying about what other people think and you just do you.
I love that. I love that. Christina said it. I agree with it. Christina Nicholson, thanks so much.
Thank you, Mark. That was fun.
Well, I hope you're going to walk away from this episode with some useful tips. I know I am. MediaMavenAndMore.com. That's where you can check out Christina. I would definitely encourage you to go say hi. Tell you heard her on After Hours Entrepreneur and you really enjoyed what she had to say. Make sure that you share this out on social media. And again, thanks for listening. And I would love to hear more from you. Personal invite just to you, Mark@MarkSavantMedia.com. Send me an email. I want to talk to you. I want to get on a phone call with you. I want to hear more about what you're working on and how I can provide you with more value. That's Mark@MarkSavantMedia.com. All right. Thanks so much for listening to the After Hours Entrepreneur. This is Mark Savant signing off. I'll catch you here next time. Make it count. Peace.